This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 High FM. This is the late Erev Shabbos show with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, and a warm welcome to all of our radio family. Thank you so much for joining us on this amazing Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Pasha Shalach Tov Shin Pei Vav. As again, we're approaching Shabbos. It's coming within an hour or so. It's already going to be Shabbos, and I really appreciate you making the time, making efforts to come join us. As always, the program is brought to you as a refuah shleima for many cholim. We'll list just a few of them: Shmuel Chaim ben Ella Devoira, Yonasan Adi ben Chaya Rochel, Nadav Baruch ben Shani Sarit, Binyamin ben Leah Pua, Tzivia bas Etka, Shein Rochel bas Leah, Shulamis Leah bas Asna, Chaya Slava bas Vittel Besich Shor Choyle Yisrael. Amongst all those, wherever they are, and whatever situation there might be, who need that little extra bit of caress, who need that little chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may the schus of Yidden coming together so close to Shabbos and spending time learning something together, growing a bit, being inspired perhaps to make this Shabbos something unique in our lives. May that be a bracha, may that be an incredible schus for anyone who needs, and for all of us, for all of Klai Yisrael, we should be zeche to bracha v'hatzlocha, to success in everything we are doing, and to be able to see Be'ez Hashem, the Melech HaMashiach, Bekorav Yomeinu. As has been our want over the last few weeks, when we come to a parsha where there is a haftarah that has a significant sort of, perhaps a storyline, perhaps something to teach us, so thank God, Baruch Hashem, this show has been going on for many years, and we've discussed many different aspects of the parsha, particularly this parsha of Shlach Lecha. We've spoken about the impact of the Meraglim, and therefore it's perhaps prudent and worthwhile to take an opportunity and maybe branch out a little bit and speak about a very significant haftarah that is, of course, attached to this week's parsha. The parsha, of course, as we know, deals with the Meraglim and the sending of the spies to Eretz Yisrael by Moshe Rabbeinu, with the mission of sort of reconnoitering the land and delivering to Moshe Rabbeinu a report on what would be the best way strategically to attack the land, what were its strengths and weaknesses, and how could the Jews best tactfully and strategically win the battles they needed to win in order to capture Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, 10 out of the 12 spies who were sent had their own agenda, and it came back with a deliberately skewed and distorted report of what they actually saw in the land of Eretz Yisrael, and in that way kind of incited and convinced the entire Jewish nation that Eretz Yisrael was not a place they really wanted to go to. It was too frightening, it was too overwhelming, and the whole nation cried on that night and caused the actual destruction of that whole generation, and that the whole Jewish nation had to remain in the desert for the next 40 years so that the following generation could actually go into Eretz Yisrael. This is followed by the Haftarah, which deals with the second such episode of spy sending, but this time the spies that Yehoshua, the new leader who took over after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, spies that he sent to the city of Jericho, which would be the first stop, the first campaign the Jews had to undertake in Eretz Yisrael to find out what to do, how to run it, and sent, of course, two of his trusted associates, Pinchas and Kalev. And in Eretz Yisrael, they encountered in Jericho an incredible woman. And please God, after the break, we're going to discuss a little bit about this woman, this hotelier called Rachav, and her incredible sort of climb from the lowest possible status in the world to the greatness that she achieved. We'll be back in a moment. This is 101.9. This is the late Erev Shabbos afternoon show. My name is Rabbi Moshe Schnurb. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 High FM. This is the late afternoon Erev Shabbos show with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb. We're going to start to deal now with the Haftarah of this week's Pasha, which, as we said, discusses the spies sent by Yoshua ben Nun to spy out the land of Eretz Yisrael before the Jews would come and capture it. Now, one of the main points in this whole discussion of the Meraglim, of these spies, was the story of Rachav Hazayna, Rachav the hotelier who hosted them in her house in Yericho and saved them from the hands of the king of Yericho. We find in the words of Al-Chazal in various places the character and profile of this very, very interesting woman. And Be'ez Hashem, we're going to try a little bit in today's show to try to encapsulate a little bit about what she was, and to learn for ourselves practical lessons, because of course all of Torah is what we call Torah Schayim. It's a living Torah. It's there for us to learn from. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah on page Tesvav that this lady Rachav was one of the four women who was the most beautiful woman in the world from the time of the creation of the world. However, unfortunately, Rachav used her beauty in a very, very negative way. And unfortunately, she allowed herself to be involved in every type of lewd behavior you could ever imagine, in the worst possible way. For 40 years, from the age of 10 until the age of 50, she completely let her body go to anyone who wanted. And we're told that there wasn't a single king or a single official who didn't unfortunately sin with her. And it was very, very well known, her beauty and unfortunately her lack of self-control, until Gemara says that if one simply mentioned her name, right, in thinking possibly to already come and do a sin with her and to allow their own physical desires to run free. So that very, very, mention, just the thought of her already created a terrible situation of defilement and depravity in their lives, and obviously therefore in the entire world, because when people are involved in the most defiling type of things, that only causes to bring down the specter of holiness and purity in the whole world. However, it's kind of in light of this, it becomes amazing to possibly contemplate how it was that this woman merited to reach some of the greatest levels ever possible. And in fact, as the Gemara says, that she converted and she merited to a certain level even of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine inspiration. She married Yeshua ben Nun, Yeshua the leader himself, who was the second leader of the Jewish nation after Moshe Rabbeinu. And amongst her children and descendants, there were other prophets, there were Kohanim, of very, very distinguished and amazing levels. As the fact the Gemara brings there in in Megillah on Yedalit, that there were 8 prophets, and some of them were Kohanim that came from this Rachav Hazayna, and they are Neriah, and Baruch, and Sariah, and Machasya, Yirmiah, Chilkiah, Hanamel, and Shalom. These 8 great, great people. And in fact, Rabbi Yehuda says, even Huldah HaNaviah was one of the descendants of Rachav Hazayna. And he says, even Yecheskel HaNavi, the great prophet Yecheskel, might also have been from her descendants. This, of course, raises a huge question. How is this possible that such a woman could elevate herself from sort of the lowest possible moral station in the world to the sea, to the highest point of holiness, that she should become the wife of a Navi Hashem and to have children, generations of Kohanim and other prophets? What's the root of the matter? And what is the one point that we need to learn, that we need to take home for us, that allowed her to move from this sort of nadir of impurity to this highest point of purity? So if we look a little bit at just even at the verses, this already brings us to an understanding that the point at which there was a tremendous turnaround in this woman happened during the time that Kalev and Pinchas, these two spies who were sent by Yeshua, when they were in her house, they caused her to change her very, very essence and to pull herself up from the state of impurity to an incredible state of purity, and from sin to holiness. Let's look a little bit at some of the verses and what our Chazal say about it. It says in the Medrash Tanchuma that the two spies that Yeshua ben Nun sent, as we said, were Pinchas ben Elazar and Kalev ben Yefune. When they left on this very, very dangerous mission, literally their lives were in danger had they been discovered, they for surely would have been killed, and they did it therefore with tremendous, tremendous self-dedication, with tremendous, mysterious nefesh. So they went straight to the house of this woman, Rachel. Why? Because she lived right near, in fact, perhaps, in the wall of the city. And there they would be able to sort of look out on what's happening, what's spy out, what was happening in the city, right? And obviously, when news of their arrival became known to the king of Yericho, so he sent messengers after them to arrest them. Rachav, who sort of protected them and wanted to sort of hide them on her roof of her house and to sort of hide them from the eyes of the messengers of the king. So at that time, Pinchas said to her, wait a second. I am a Kohanim. And Kohanim are compared to Malachim, to angels. As in fact, the Pasuk in Malachi says, Ki sifse ha-Kohen yishmru das, the lips of the Kohen preserve knowledge, v'teira yivakshu mipiyu, and Torah, therefore, you can seek from them. Ki malach Hashem tzvokas, because really, we are angels of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And a malach, you know, a malach, when he wants to be seen, he can be seen, but when he doesn't want to be seen, he can't be seen. And therefore, Pinchas said to her, when I want, I can be seen, and when I also want, I can disappear. And the Medrash carries on and proves it. How do we know that she only had to hide the one spy, Kalev, and not both spies? Because it actually says in the verse, Vatikach e'isha shnei hanashim, the woman took these two men, Vatitzbino, literally, and she hid him. Should have said she hid them. But it's only one to teach us that Pinchas did not need to be hid. He sort of, so to speak, disappeared. And but this was tremendous, tremendous mesirat nefesh, dedication on the part of these two spies. We're going to unpack this topic a little bit further after the break. So come back with us. This is 11.9 Chai FM. The program is the late afternoon Erev Shabbos show. My name is Rabbi Moshe Shlomo. We'll be back in a moment with much, much.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Shnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is the late afternoon Erev Shabbos show with Rabbi Moshe Shnurb. We are talking about the spies that Yeshua sent to Jericho before the Jews came to capture the land. And we just spoke out of Medrash that Pinchas, who was a Kohen, was really a Malach, was able to sort of make himself invisible, and therefore Rochab only had to hide the one spy, Kalev. And in fact, the word the Novi uses, the word Vatitzbenoi, she hid him, the intention over here is that what's really hidden here is the whole concept of Rochab and her complete revolution that took place in her. As we said, Rochab, who was on the lowest, on the nadir of existence as human, couldn't have been more submerged in all the tumah of her immorality and her physicality. Nevertheless, suddenly, she revealed an entirely new world. In front of her stood a person who was the absolute opposite of what she was and what her very essence was. A person, an Adam Kaddish, a holy person, a Kayan who was the son of Kayanim, a Navi of Hashem. And he testified about himself that he has the ability to take his own physical body and turn it in a supernatural way and make it disappear and sort of overcome all the physical restraints, and to be a person who could see but not be seen because of his tremendous level of holiness and greatness and the fact that he was a Kohen. This very, very essence was the tremendous, tremendous, what aroused Rochav about her complete external existence. At that exact moment, Rochav heard in the voice of Pinchas the tremendous, tremendous degradation and the crushing impact in her mind of the physical world, of the external world, the absolute nothingness that is related to this absolute external and natural existence. And she understood that from the viewpoint of the way Pinchas ben Elazar, HaKohen, looked at the world, she understood that her physical beauty, which unfortunately she had used in the wrong way all these years, was absolutely nothing as far as he was concerned. Because as far as from his vantage point of Kedusha, there's absolutely no hold and no importance to these type of things. Because the whole external essence, the whole physical externance is absolutely a mirage. It's a joke, it's a game, it's nothing. She saw Pinchas as being exalted and elevated above all physical things. And that changed him to a completely supernatural existence of Kedusha. And she was incredibly smart enough to understand that even her physical beauty she now could take and elevate that even to a state of Kedusha. And since from Shemayim, they had given her this incredible, incredible, unique beauty, so that meant that she had within her ability, with her strength, to turn that around, to make it into something, a physical, physical attribute, and into a beauty of Kedusha. And in the same way as some of the other uniquely beautiful women in the world, like Sarah and Esther, who are also from the seven prophetesses that existed in the Jewish nation, and who also merited unique, special beauty, right? Just like Rachav had, because they were also amongst those four most beautiful women in the world. And yet, what did they do with that beauty? On the contrary, they took that incredible beauty as a means for attaining even higher levels of Kedusha, right? To deepen that spiritual beauty and that tremendous, tremendous outpouring of purity. And they were able to use that. They were able to combine all the physical traits they had and bring that up to an incredible level and have an incredible effect on their whole environment. So Rachav concluded that she too had the same ability to elevate herself. And instead of having her name mentioned by everyone as being called Rachav the Zona, Rachav the prostitute who brought so many people down to sin, she would now have a whole new identity change, and she'd now be mentioned for now and for all generations as the tremendous tzaddikas, the tremendous righteous women who could bring people up to a level of kedusha and tahara, purity and holiness. And Rachav merited to see these things in absolute light of truth. And she succeeded because of this shock that she received from the words of Pinchas HaKohen to make this incredible revolution in her own neshama, in her own life. And straight away, at that moment, she accepted upon herself, right, to stop from then on, to not be involved anymore in those terrible sins, and on the contrary, to connect herself to holiness through, number one, through converting to Yiddishkeit, but to do it absolutely altruistically, absolutely l'shem shamayim, and to do a complete and absolute tshuva, and from then on, to fulfill with absolute, in the best way possible, all of the mitzvahs that she is obligated and she and other women are obligated to keep. And this incredible decision that she took, that is what turned around in one moment from the lowest possible existence you could imagine to a tremendous, tremendous, exalted and incredible, incredible level of Kedusha. The expression to express even the incredible turnaround that happened to her on that evening, we can actually find in what Rachav herself says to Pinchas and to Kalev straight away after the king's officers, unable to find them, left her house when sort of you know, with empty hands. It says there, "Vatayimer l'anoshim." Rachav said to Kalev and Pinchas, "Yodati, I know, ki nasan Hashem lachem es haaret, that Hashem has given you the whole land, v'chi nafla emaschem aleinu, and that the fear and trepidation of you has fallen upon all of us, v'chi namoygu kol yoshvei haaretz b'fneichem, and that everyone is trembling in front of you." Why? Ki shamanu. We heard Esa Shehlivisha Shemes Meyamsuf Mifnechem. We heard how HaKadosh Baruch Hu dried up all the waters of the Reed Sea in front of you. When you left Egypt. And that what you did to the two strong, strong Amorite kings, Asher Be'eva Yarden, who lived on the east bank of the Jordan, the Sichon Oig, Sichon Oig, these two giants, Asher Cheramtem Oisam, that you completely obliterated them, you destroyed them. Vanishma, we heard this. Vanimas Lovenu. Our hearts melted. No one has any more courage to stand up in front of you. And then she adds, "Ki Hashem Elokechem, because Hashem, your God, who Elokim b'shamayim imal, He is Hashem in heaven above, v'yala oretz mitochas, and on this world." In direct opposition almost to the way she had acted until now, with a feeling that there's no such thing as any judgment, ain't din, there ain't dayan, there's no judge, there's no judgment. Now suddenly she rose up to a level of emunah, of total belief and total trust in Hashem, and a complete recognition that, as we'd say, Ein Oid Mavada, there's no one else, no other existence in the world but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such a basic and an essential understanding, which is of course the very fundamental of all of our emunah and the whole life of a person in this world, where that has the power to negate all the evil and to help us recognize that everything comes from Hashem. And that's why Chazal say in the Medrash, Amra Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Rachav, Hashem himself says to Rachav, At Amart, you said, Ki Hashem Elokechem Hu Elokim, that Hashem, your God, He is the true God. And Nicha Baretz. Okay, we get the the fact that you now have this amazing clarity that Hashem is the true God on this earth. But how can you say with any sense of certainty that God is the one God in Shamayim? How do you know what you never saw with your eyes? How can you say so unequivocally and such conviction about something that you've never seen? Chayecha, Hashem took an oath. Shebincha oimed, that your child, your descendant is gonna stand here, v'roya mashal oroa neviim, and he's gonna see something that no other navi ever managed to see, as it says in the first chapter of Yecheskel, niftachu hashamayim, the heavens were opened, v'ereh marot elokim. And I was able to, says Yecheskel HaNavi, I was able to see a vision of Hashem. That through this, Rachav merited that came from her, Yecheskel HaNavi. And these words of incredible faith that came out of her mouth at that moment, now became eternal. Through the words that were authored, that were penned by her husband, Yeshua ben Nun, in the prayer of Aleinu Lishabeach, that was written, was composed at that time. And from that day on, it said every single day for thousands of years by every single Jew. But Yeshua added not only the words of his great teacher Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein Oid, right, which were what Moshe Rabbeinu said in Parshat Veschanan, but he came to teach us something even more, that not only in heaven and earth is the absolute dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and unquestionable rulership of HaKadosh Baruch Hu found, but even in the Chalal HaLam, even in the space between heaven and earth, everywhere in the universe, Ein Od Milvado, there's no one else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now that's after Rachav reached this incredible, incredible deep sense of emunah in Hashem and an absolute recognition in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and his dominion over everything, she accepted upon herself straight away that she was going to convert, as is brought in the Alkut Shemayni. Therefore, straight away, at that point, she did a complete tshuva, but she expressed complete and total regret for all of her physical sins that she had done for the period of the last 40 years. And similarly, she accepted upon herself the yoke of all mitzvahs, as Chazal say in the Mechilta, on the pasuk in the Haftar we're going to read on Shabbos. And she let them down by a rope through her window, and says, "Omro Rochav l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Rochav said before Hashem, "Ribbono shel Olam, the Master of the Universe, b'shleisha devarim chatasi lecha. With three things I used to sin against you. B'chevel, using this rope for my clients to climb up, b'chaloin, using this window, b'choima, and the fact that they had this easy escape route to the other side of the wall. Forgive me for all of that, and allow me to replace those three with nida, the laws of family purity, and challah, separating tithe from the dough, v'adlakas haner, and lighting Shabbos candles." So these are the three things that she accepted upon herself in exchange for what she was doing. This tshuva that she did, this complete, absolute sort of repentance that was fulfilled all the details, all the nuances of tshuva according to the halacha, as is explained in the laws of tshuva of the Rambam, which are charata, regret of what you've done, vidui, expressing before Hashem the sins you've done, and the kabbalah asir, undertaking to the best of one's ability not to go back and ever do those sins again. And when you join together this very, very deep sense of tshuva to her incredible, incredible newfound emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this recognition, unqualified recognition, ki ein oid milvada, that there's no one else but Hashem in the world, Rachav merited to a instant spiritual elevation to such a high level, till she merited to get Ruach HaKodesh, to get divine inspiration, as Chazal say in the Medrash on the pasuk, right? That's right there, right next to the tshuva of Rachav. Vatayimalem, she says to him, "Ahara lechu, run, escape to the mountains, pen yifku ubo chemeroifim, in order that the ones who are chasing after you will not encounter you. And hide there for 3 days, ad shleiveroifim, until all the chasers come back." How did she know that they were going to chase after her for 3 days and not further than that? From here we see that divine inspiration was given to Rachav. Such an elevated level of Ruach HaKodesh that came through this 1 minute total complete transition in a person. She merited also, as we said, to marry Yeshua ben Nun, as the Gemara says in Megillah,
and she merited that came from her children. We said Kayanim and Nevi'im, prophets, who are completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like angels, who again can see, but cannot be seen. This is actually a very, very incredibly important lesson for each and every one of us. You know, we tend to sort of get mired down in our lives and our existence. And sometimes we know we're not doing really what we should be doing, and we're living a lifestyle that maybe is not exactly the way a good Jewish person should be living. But sometimes we get these moments of either it's a shock or it's something that just crystallizes in our mind. Hey, what am I doing with my life? What is going on with me? How could I have lived this way? And at that moment, we have the ability, we have incredible power to actually put on brakes, completely change ourselves, and go in the other direction. The one condition is two conditions. One, it has to be real, it has to be genuine. And number two, we can't wait around and say, I need to change, I'll do it sometime. It has to be immediate. We have to grab the bull by its horns and do something drastic right now. And then we can take advantage of a tremendous, tremendous siyata d'shmaya, of tremendous divine inspiration to turn our lives around as Rochav HaZayna did. This is 11.9 Chai FM. My name is Rav Moshe Schnurb. We'll be back in a moment with our Hilchos Shabbos slot.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is the late afternoon Erev Shabbos show. A warm welcome for those of you who are just joining us now. We are very, very close to the beginning of Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Shalach Lecha Tov Shin Pei Vav. But anyway, a very, very warm welcome. Thank you for making this time at this sort of busy moment to join us as we get to the last part of our show, as we always do at this time, just to give you the important details and times that you might need for this coming Shabbos. So first of all, the most imminent thing we need to know is that the earliest time for lighting our Shabbos candles is at 4:17, just minutes from now. 4:17 is already the earliest time you can get Shabbos going in your house. And again, it's something really, really to be encouraged, something to really make an effort to do if we can do it. Nothing like a little bit of extra kedusha, a bit of extra purity, a little bit of extra demonstration of our emunah and our Kodesh Baruch, that we can do what we have to do during the week. We've done it, and now it's time to take hands off the controls, let things go, and sort of mutate to a different world, go to a different existence, and allow Shabbos to overtake us and our lives. So if you're ready, the food's all on the hot tray or the platter, and the house is orderly, and you're bathed and dressed, then absolutely, let's go for it. Let's get Shabbos on as early and as soon as possible. If you can't manage to do it as the earliest 4:17, so whenever you get to it, 4:30 is great. 4:45 is still beautiful. Any extra effort you make, HaKadosh Baruch Hu so appreciates it and so values that we value his Shabbos, the benefit in so many different ways, is absolutely immeasurable. The latest time for benching lich, for lighting our Shabbos candles today, is at 5:05. And the good news is, this is the last time it's going to be 5:05 by next Friday. It's already going to be back to 5:06, and we're on our way in the reverse, going towards summer. Might not feel like it, as I always say, but here we are, going towards summer from next week. So 5:05 is the latest time For all I know, as far as we're concerned, that is the time when Shabbos begins. There's no, that's when we have to shut everything off and really consider it absolutely, totally a Shabbos. Obviously, for the men folk, you should already be in shul by then, so you could have mincha with a minyan. You can't even begin to tell you how important that last mincha of the week, that mincha that transitions us from weekday to Shabbos, is actually is now important. It is to get there and daven together with the minyan. Sunset is at 5:23, and that's obviously the very, very latest time for those who are really, really in a time bound and need to get things, you know, their emergency situations, and God forbid, if we don't give them a bit of extra time, they might actually come to break Shabbos. Fine, so they have till 5:23, but after that, it's all over and all done with Shabbos. Shabbos begins. Nightfall, therefore, is 5:41. You can already say Krishma. It's already night. Fulfill the night mitzvah of saying Krishma. And then come home from shul and you still have a beautiful, beautiful long night with your family. Have a good meal, a good hot meal, some nice Divrei Torah, beautiful things to say. Pasha Shlach Lecha, there's so much there. Some good singing, some good discussion about the week. Let's talk about what happened. Let's talk about what we learned. Let's talk about a chizuk that we got in our emunah, in our trust, in our relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu during this week. It's so important to relate that. So important to share it with family and friends. Can't tell what an effect that can have on oneself and on other people. And of course, it's a long night. You don't need to go to sleep at 8. You never go to sleep at 8. So why on Friday night? Take a book, learn something, learn with your children. Do something that really makes the Shabbos into the special day, the special Hartzig, the special Ruchniestik, a spiritual day that it's meant to be. Tomorrow, of course, Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Shlach Lecha, amazing story of the spies and what we learn from it, and hopefully it brings us to a tremendous strength and growth of our emunah and love towards the land of Eretz Yisrael. Really, really important. And of course, the Haftarah that goes with it, which is the second story of the spies, where Yeshua sends spies to Eretz Yisrael. Very, very different outcome, very, very different sort of story. Lots to learn about that, as we discussed earlier in the show. And then, of course, this Shabbos is Shabbos Mevarachim. Yes, Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Monday and Tuesday of this coming week. Amazingly enough, we're going into Chodesh Tammuz. The 3 weeks aren't that far away. But please God, we will get there. We will get there very, very soon. We have, of course, obviously in your shul, whatever they do for Shabbos Mevarachim, an extra shir, an extra challenge, hopefully not too many extra l'chaims, should be done, be participated in with gusto. And obviously we are doing Pirkei Avos still. This week is going to be Perek Gimel, the third chapter of Pirkei Avos. Open a book. There's so many commentaries. Learn something. Get some inspiration from the incredible words of advice, of life guidance that our great leaders give us. And of course, Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night at 5:57. Again, the earliest ending time of the year, and obviously the last time it's going to be that. Next week will already be 5:58, and then Rosh Chodesh being Sunday night, so it's not far away to another highlight of Judaism, and we go into another beautiful, beautiful week. Okay, let's talk about Hilchos Shabbos. We're still dealing with the agricultural laws, which we said included Choresh, plowing, Zreya, planting, Koitzer, harvesting, and Ma'amer, sort of piling it up. And there are a few interesting laws that we need to know. Number one, our Chazal's called decree, their enactment against, like we discussed last week, we discussed using trees on Shabbos, applies to sort of shrubs and vines that have hard branches or kind of yield hard sort of fruit, like, I don't know, your pumpkins. However, sort of the decree of Chazal doesn't include sort of soft kind of weeds or bushes or branches. Therefore, one may sit on a lawn on Shabbos, even if it sort of moves the grass slightly. That's not going to be a problem. Important halacha, one may not smell an edible fruit while it is still attached to its tree, because the smell might be so enticing, you might then end up plucking the fruit in order to actually eat it. This smells so delicious. I'd love to have some. However, one may smell fragrant flowers even while they're still attached to the ground, while they're growing. Why? It's because he has absolutely no reason to pick them, as they can be smelled just as well while still attached to the ground. Right? If tree branches themselves are actually fragrant, so then one may not grasp them and move them sort of closer to smell them. Why? Because one may not move them just as one may not move a tree itself. A branch is part of a tree. You can't move them just like you can't move the tree. If the branches are soft and sort of kind of pliable, like myrtle branches, so then one may grasp them and move them closer to smell them. One must, of course, be careful not to pluck the branches. That, of course, you can't do, but since you can get that, the enjoyment, even by just smelling it, we do allow that. Okay, we're going to take a break for a moment and come back with our final segment. This is 101.9. This is the late afternoon Erev Shabbos show. My name is Rabbi Moshe Schnurm, and this is still the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurm, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Friday afternoon, late afternoon Shabbos show with Rabbi Moshe Schnurm. Thank you for joining us as we go into our very, very last segment before we run away to finish up our last minute Friday preparations. So we're talking about other things connected with planting and stuff. So you're allowed to walk on a lawn, even though walking on it may sort of uproot some grass. And that's because he has absolutely no intention of doing this, and it's not necessarily going to happen. But if the grass is very, very high, and it is certain that walking on it is going to cause some of it to be torn up, so then one may not walk on it, because then it is now, even though you don't intend to, but if you don't intend, but it's still inevitable, that is going to be prohibited. Same thing would be if one runs on grass, let's say barefoot. So there's a high likelihood that blades of grass can get stuck between your toes, and then you'll pull them out. That could be definitely an issue. Not only did the Chazal prohibit using a tree, they also prohibited riding on an animal, lest the rider break a kind of branch, right, to use as a riding crop to sort of direct the animal. The Chazal also prohibited extracting honey from honeycombs, because this looks like, it looks sort of like picking produce, and Shulchan Aruch mentions that in Shin Chaf Aleph. And finally, one may bring the animals to a sort of a grassy area so that they can graze, and that's not considered that you're harvesting because the animals are eating for themselves. Now, we are not sort of commanded to ensure that animals keep Shabbos. We simply must ensure that they don't sort of perform any work on our behalf. Here they're eating for their own enjoyment, and that certainly is going to be permitted on Shabbos. If we're going to, if we eat for our enjoyment on Shabbos, then why shouldn't the animals be able to do so at their leisure? Obviously, you can't sort of pull up clumps of grass to make it easier for them. That you certainly can't do. That would be a mamish, a violation of a Torah prohibition that you certainly can't do. But to just bring them there and let them eat themselves, gesundheit, as they say, let them enjoy it. Anyway, our time is actually over for the week. Shabbos is really, really upon us. And I just want to first of all thank each and every one of you for being part of our great radio family, for listening to us all these years, all these weeks. We really, really appreciate it. And I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos. Stay warm, stay connected, stay inspired, and stay, you know, in a situation where we're constantly becoming more and more Jewish, more and more connected to Hashem. To each and every one of our beautiful radio family, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a beautiful and Geshmak good Shabbos.